recording, so the verbal recording, so I'm in trouble already. So maybe I need a resolution to try to remember that. But Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 says, Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, the past. Sometimes we have a hard time getting past the past. You know, the past holds a lot of memories and a lot of lessons. You know, good memories are good. Lessons that have taught us things are good. But sometimes we tend to dwell on the past a little too much, and especially the bad things. You know, they tend to be at the front of our mind longer than even the good ones do. You know, remember when Israel left Egypt? You know, they went out, they had to go through the desert, got a little rough. You know, they were fed, they had what they needed, but some people living in the past remembered it differently. It seemed better than what they have now. They remembered things back in Egypt were better than what they were now. They remembered all the great food they had, and they talked about all the vegetables and even the meat they had. And we know that wasn't true, but their memory had clouded their vision of the future. And they wanted to go back rather than face the future of what God was calling them to be. And Satan does that. Satan has us dwell in the past because it benefits his agenda, you know. Because if we remain living in the past, we can't be what Jesus wants us to be. We miss out. You know, we need to move forward. But in the past, it stalls us out from being perfected. Not perfect, but it stalls us out from being matured, from growing. It stunts our growth, living in the past. We need to move forward. And the past, honestly, isn't what we always remember it to be. You know, sometimes we think of the past was better, when in fact it just normally repeats itself and we don't realize it. You know, people repeat the same errors they did thousands of years ago. You know, read the Bible. Read about the Jewish people. You know, times change, but people generally don't, at least the normal activity, the normal way they live. God changes us, but people typically don't change with the times. It was a lot, you know, you say it was a lot different back in my day, you know, and it could be harder or could be better. You know, we always break out, you know, had to walk to school, you know, miles a day, had to walk to school, you know, snow like today, you know, it didn't stop us, uphill both ways. You know, we use all the adjectives about how rough it was when we had to go to school. And, you know, TV wasn't what it was, you know, TV, you know, we had, you know, we had the black and white version, you know, we had the maybe five or six channels, and you know, you actually had to get up and walk to that TV to change the channel, and until you had kids old enough to do that. So we actually had to change the channels. And what's worse, it took two people sometimes to watch TV, because you had one inside and one outside with the antenna turning the pole to, you know, the one inside, nope, little farther east, little farther west. Well, too far back the other way to get the channels to come into focus where you could see them the best. So so TVs were a lot different back then. Yeah, you know, phones were a lot different back then. Some of us are old enough to remember the rings on the phone that the operator would ring your phone with, two longs and a short, or some version of that when your phone rang. I remember that at my grandparents'. And some of us remember, you know, the party lines. You know, you picked up the phone to use it, but three or four could at the same time. Your next door neighbor and the one on the other side of them, and all of you could be on the line at the same time. And people just don't remember those things. And you know, it was actually attached to the wall. You know, you couldn't take it with you. It didn't fit in your pocket. And sometimes I think that was better, that it was attached to the wall instead of attached to us. It was made things much simpler. And, you know, a lot of things, you know, don't change as much as we think they do. You know, I read an article about some complaints about inflation and joblessness and recession worries and the resignation of a president. And some of you might think that was this year or, you know, the last year that we've been in, but that was 50 years ago. That was 1975, 1974 and 75. So the more things change, the more they stay the same, as they say. So another one, I read about a school incident in the paper the other day, talked about, you know, the animosity between parents and teachers because, you know, their kid wasn't, felt like their kid wasn't being favored or being equal. A young man at school was causing problems, misbehaving, you know, all of those things, not doing well, not doing homework, causing problems at school. And of course, the dad went there and was aggravated, and it was the teacher's fault and things. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. They were wanting to actually hold him back a year, and he was saying that wasn't going to happen. They were going to move his son on up and, you know, and do a better job. And of course, that got everybody talking about the old days, you know. Well, the old days, if you were disciplined at school, you got it, but then you were disciplined again when you got home, and sometimes that was worse. And then others talking, yeah, it used to be like that, but every, you know, it's got out of hand where teachers can't even do anything, schools can't do anything to the kids anymore, and it just creates the attitude kids don't have to obey, they can do whatever they want. And you know, that sounds like today, but you know, that article was from 1885, 140 years ago. So again, things don't change. We may forget things, but they don't change. So, you know, we consider all the changes. You know, technology, yes, has changed. You know, the saying is we may be better off, but we're not better. People haven't changed in that way. But technology's changed, yes, but that's both good and bad as well. You know, think of all the great things that it's allowed us to do. It's allowed us to do this and to be able to see friends and family and speak and all those things. But also consider all the bad things it has enabled us to do as well. So, got to take the good with the bad and got to see what it really means and what it really does. But God says, look ahead. You know, see, I'm doing new things. Don't you get it? Don't you see it? Are you still looking in the rearview mirror, you know, and not seeing what lies ahead? That's kind of dangerous. You know, it creates an opportunity to crash and burn. You know, it may look rough looking out the front. It may look like a desert or the wilderness or the wasteland, as he puts it. But he says, I'm making a way through it. He says, I'm creating life in it. You know, there's a new way. I'm changing the future. And he says, I want you to be an active participant in it with me. So look ahead for what I'm doing. And we need to look for what God's doing. We need to look ahead. We need to see what he's got in mind. And if we're in tune, we can see it. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. It starts with a change in us, you know, and it's the biggest change that will ever take place in your life. It works from the inside out. You know, the old is pushed out, and the new creation in God enters in. And that gap that's filled by the old being pushed out, the Holy Spirit hopefully fills that up. You know, he fills up that space where you've pushed that old, that bad part out. And he will do that, at least as long as we don't try to hold on to it. You know, sometimes we try to hold on to it, and it creates less room for him. But we are a new creation. A new creation begins new things. A couple more verses I just want to talk about this morning. I won't keep you long. We're supposed to have communion today, but I think we'll try and have that next week, have communion delayed a week. But Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, to be a new creation, you have to sacrifice yourself to God. You know, to be a living sacrifice of self, as to worship God, so we can be what He wants us to be. We can be all that He wants us to be. You know, to do that, we can't remain in the world as we once did. You know, it takes a renewing of our minds to be transformed day by day. And it is a day-by-day thing that we do. And we renew them by being in God's Word. You have to read. We have to be in prayer. We need to talk to God. And we have to be in obedience. Obedience teaches those new habits that we need to get rid of the old ones. We need to change our habits to be new ones, to get rid of the old. And if we do that, it says you can know what God's will is for your life. Because you're in tune. You've listened. You've talked. You did what He said. He's going to let you know. You don't have to question what I'm supposed to do or question the ability you have to do it. If you have a new renewed mind, you'll get it. You'll understand what God wants you to do. Not only that, but that He's given you the power through the Holy Spirit to do it. He wouldn't ask you to do something that He wouldn't help you do. The last verse today is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11. God has plans for you. They're good plans. You know, parents sometimes make plans and help map out the future for our kids. God has plans for His children too. You know, and the plans are certain. You know, He says, "I know the plans I have for you." And I think those were made before you were born. He had a plan for you. And He's got a way for you. And His plans don't change. You know, it is, the joke was, you know, how to make God laugh, make plans. You know, He has plans to give you all the good that He offers, to prosper, to not harm you, but to give you hope and a future. You know, plans don't come up to plan for the past. Plans come up to plan for the future. And no matter what the past has held, no matter what was in your life, God still has a plan for your life. His plan doesn't change. You know, those plans may not be the same as your plans. You know, that happens to all of us. We plan something and God kind of changes sometimes. But depending on if you've offered your body as a living sacrifice will determine if you want to go with His plans or yours. You know, have you given everything to Him? You know, the future may not be easy. It wasn't for Israelites coming out of Egypt. It's not for those of us that accept Him. He doesn't say it's easy. It may be tough, and it may be, but sometimes it may be the path is harder for you because the calling He has for you is higher. He's got something special planned for you. He's got something planned for everyone. You know, our training can be a struggle, and that's what trials and things we go through, it's training. And they may be a struggle, but He'll get us through it. But we need to persist in our faith and our trust. Don't try to get off easy. Don't try to look for an easy way out. The tests make us who we are. You know, that's what Satan does. He says, you know, "I've got an easier way." C.S. Lewis said, you know, God didn't promise a life of no pain, but He did promise a life that could be with no stain. So life is going to be painful. And sometimes maybe more so if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, because I believe that the Holy Spirit inside you pushes you to care more about others and those around you. Yeah, I mean, you probably heard it, the story of the caterpillar. You know, the young boy went and, you know, playing in the woods, found a caterpillar, and he decided to take it home. So he got the caterpillar and, you know, got some branches and things that the leaves and things, and put it in a container, and the caterpillar kept eating and grew, you know, a big fat worm, you know, he grew, and pretty soon the boy watched him weave the cocoon, and the cocoon was there for a while, and pretty soon he kept watching. He was anxious and watching that caterpillar start to break out of that cocoon, and he could start to see it, you know, as a big fat worm thing, and but it had a couple of scrawny little wings attached to it, and it was struggling to get out of that cocoon. It kept trying and trying and making its way a little at a time. Well, the boy felt sorry and got impatient and wanted to help. So he did. He helped open that cocoon up. Opened it, tore so the caterpillar could get out of there easier. And it did. It got out. But he still had a really fat body, and the wings were shriveled up. And it didn't change. It didn't change. The wings stayed shriveled, because it's that battle. It's that work. It's that struggle that caterpillar has that pushes the fluids out of the body into the wings once it gets out, that creates the wings. It fulfills the wings. It makes it into the creature, the beautiful creature that it was supposed to be. Without that, it's alive, but it's a fat bug with withered wings that don't develop. It doesn't grow. It just stays the same. The struggles is what would have made it to be the beautiful creature the boy wanted to see. The struggles make us to be the creatures that God wants to see, that develop us, that grow us, that make us the beautiful creation that He's made. Struggles are important. Can't take the easy way out. So trust in God. Submit to God's plan wholeheartedly, not just a little bit. Trust in His plan. And again, Satan's going to interfere as much as he can. He's going to tell you, it's too hard. It's too hard. You don't want to do that. You know, you don't have to do that. He's going to say, I've got an easier plan. It'll be more of the things you used to like to do. You know, this new way's hard. This new way's a struggle. And but I encourage you to stay strong and work through it. Look ahead, not back. You know, look to see what God's doing, and be active with God in His plans. So don't take the easy way out. Don't avoid the struggles. Struggles are what make you stronger. Struggles are what God uses, again, to make you into what you can be, what He desires you to be. Got one other thing before we close. Talks about the new year. It's the new year and what can happen in the new year, and maybe about what resolutions you've had or thinking about. Maybe you haven't made, maybe you're going to make some, and with God in those things. But I want to read this before we close. It's called The New Year. It says, I am the new year. I am an unspoiled page in your book of time. I'm your next chance at the art of living. I'm your opportunity to practice what you've learned about life during the last 12 months. All that you sought and didn't find hidden in me, waiting for you to search it, but with more determination. You gotta want it. All the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. Where's your focus? All that you dreamed but didn't dare do. All that you hoped, but did not will. All the faith that you claimed, but did not have. These slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to Him who said, "Behold, I make all things new." I hope you make all things new. I hope you try new things. I hope you develop new things. A major theme of the Bible is fear not. You got to step out. Trust God in it. Be obedient. Be the living sacrifice to God. Because you don't really sacrifice anything. It's more of what you gain. So, let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your today. Each day special, Lord. I pray that your Spirit has spoken to people. I pray that your Spirit would continue to speak with people. Just draw them unto you. Draw them to be the sacrifice. Give them the strength to overcome the struggles that we have. Grow us. Perfect us, Lord. Mature us in your word, in your life. And Lord, maybe we be used. Lord, we pray for those that are on our prayer list, Lord, that you would heal. Healing's needed. Encourage with encouragement. Just lift up those that are struggling or lost loved ones. Heal those that are recovering, Lord, or waiting for surgery. Lord, we just pray for our country as changes take place here. We pray for Israel. Lord, we pray for our church and our community, Lord, that we can be the light in the lives of others around us. Father, we thank you for the technology we have just to speak to people today and to share with one another. Again, I just pray your word goes forth. I pray people look forward to what you have for them this year and look for to get a better understanding and to know what you have for them, that you only want to give to prosper and to give good things to and to build us up. And Lord, may we honor you with obedience and to do what you would have us to do. Lord, I thank you. I give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we appreciate you joining us this morning if you have. Some of our folks don't have internet or on Facebook and things, but we wanted to share this morning anyways what we could. As I said, we hate to cancel services, but thought it best this time. So ask you have a wonderful new year, have a blessed new year, and have a be safe out there today and the days to come. Thank you for joining us, and again, we meet at 9:30 Sunday school and 10:30 church services at Benwood, Mount Lebanon every Sunday. We have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 in the community building out behind, and the women have a women's Bible study on Thursday mornings, I believe at 9 o'clock, if I'm right. Again, we'll watch the weather this week to see if things, but that's the plan for now. So join us anytime you'd like. We appreciate you. You're coming. We're there. If you've got anything you need, you can respond to the Benwood page or me, and we'll help you any way we can. So appreciate you. Love you all, and have a blessed day. Thank you.